For those who are guests, we usually go to about 12:15, so we won't be getting out too terribly late. If you're not familiar with the story we're going to be looking at this morning, the story that Robert Horner will read, please note at the bottom of the title of the sermon, the bulletin, there are the places where it is found in the other Gospels as well. I would urge you to go home and read it. It might help you put all the pieces together. So I've asked him to read so that you could put the story together and I don't have to reread it to save a little time. I've asked him to read it now, and I will go right into the sermon as soon as he's finished reading.
You can turn in the Pew Bibles to page 898. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version, starting with John 12, 1 through 8. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at the table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume, but Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. The poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me. And truly I say unto you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her."
I would like to invite you to pretend that you have been and that you are an invited guest to the feast at Simon's house. That you and I are coming into the house together, and we enter in through the door, and we're met by a servant who asks us for our invitation, and we show them. They take us to our table, which is right up by where Jesus is sitting, and we are placed there. Other people are at the table with us. We can even hear some of the conversation between those at the head table. And I don't know about you, but I think most people, when they're at a party, we always seem to do some people watching. Observing people's reactions to what's happening and how they take things in. And so we too begin to watch those who are at this feast. We have been hearing the stories of going around that Jesus is about to become the Messiah who would save and redeem Israel from the Roman rule. After all, wouldn't he be a perfect Messiah, is what everybody was saying? I mean, no army could come up against him. No siege would work. If they were hungry, the man who took 5 loaves and 2 fishes could certainly take care of any problem with the siege. And if soldiers were hurt in battle, the man who healed the lame and restored the sight of the blind and restored the hearing of those who had become deaf could heal the entire army at once if he chose to. And if someone should die in battle, well, word said that Lazarus has been raised from the dead, and there he was. Jesus' army would never fail because it would never be defeated. It couldn't be. He'd be the perfect Messiah. And so you've accepted the invitation to be at this feast in honor of Jesus, who raised Lazarus from the dead, and Lazarus who'd been raised. But as you look at Jesus, you notice something. He doesn't look like a typical king. He doesn't even look like Herod or Pilate. There isn't a pompous air about him. When the servant serves him, he looks into their eyes. He converses with them. No king would do that. There is a look of gentleness and kindness and generosity and compassion on his face, not the hardness of a ruler who's trying to command authority. What kind of Messiah will he make? Your eyes turn from Jesus and you see Lazarus sitting there, and Lazarus is pretty much just focused on Jesus. There's the look of adoration on his face. And when people come up to congratulate him and talk to him, he always motions to Jesus to tell people it's about Jesus and what he's done. Your eyes look around the room and you see someone walking amongst all the guests, and quickly you recognize it's Simon, the host of the feast. And Simon is doing the usual glad handing. He's shaking everybody's hand. He's slapping them on the back. He's taking those that look like they're the muckety-muck of Jerusalem. He's taking them up to where Jesus is to introduce them to Jesus, because he wants people to know that if this Jesus who's going to be the Messiah, why, he's giving this dinner in honor of him, and he knows Jesus, and if he's going to be the Messiah, Simon's going to be important too. Quick, easy to see that Simon is promoting himself. He's throwing a party for the most popular people in Jerusalem. If he can honor them, he will be honored. If they are popular, he can ride the wave of their popularity. Jesus is the Messiah, and then when he takes the throne, I know he'll have a place for me among his disciples. Can't you just see that running through his mind? As this day, evening wears on, we come to the part where Mary washes the feet of Jesus with perfume and with her hair. And we see Simon at that point get up and go up to Jesus and remonstrate with him and say to him, Jesus, you don't know what kind of woman this is. Their interchange is quite intense. And you hear Jesus saying things like, the one who's been forgiven much loves much. You hear a parable. And you see Simon slink away, perturbed, not knowing what to do with what Jesus has said. Then, as you're there during that evening, you reach out and you take some of the dinner that's on the table. You taste it, and it's good. It's really good. And you turn to the people who are at the table with you and say, who'd Simon get to cater this event? And they say, why, it's Martha, Mary's, or Martha, Lazarus' sister. Ah, Martha, the host with the most, hostess with the most. Everyone knows if you have a party, Martha's the one to cater it. Boy, can she cook. You look around and suddenly you notice that there she is, and she's going from table to table to make sure everything's in place. She's serving, and you're reminded of a story you heard where Jesus was at Mary and Martha's house, and Lazarus' house, and Martha was serving that day too. And she became perturbed the fact that Mary was just sitting at Jesus' feet doing nothing, and she came to Jesus and she made a demand about Mary, and she said, Jesus, can't you do something? Can't you make my sister do something? Can't she see I need help? She's placing her own demands on Mary and her own demands on Jesus too. Jesus turned to her that day and said, Martha, you are worried about many things, but Mary has chosen the best part. Leave her alone. What's interesting as you look around, as you see Mary serving, Martha serving, is that she doesn't seem to be asking anybody else to serve. She's completely at peace, serving Jesus herself. The book Desire of Ages gives some insight into the difference between Martha before and Martha afterwards. Page 525, Ellen White states, the cause of Christ needs careful, energetic workers. There's a wide field for the Marthas with their zeal and active religious work. But let them first sit with Mary at the feet of Jesus. Let diligence, promptness, and energy be sanctified by the grace of Christ. Then the life will be an unconquerable power for good. As you look at it, you think there's a difference in Martha now. You watch her serve and you admire her. You look around. Suddenly you smell something in the air. It's a very sweet fragrance, but it's so sweet it's almost nauseating. And you wonder what's going on. You hear suddenly there's people talking in the room, and there's murmuring going all over the place. And you look around, and you look up at the table, and you see Jesus. And there behind Jesus is Mary. And you discover that Mary has washed Jesus' feet with her hair out of love. Mary worships. Mary adores. Mary praises. Mary sacrifices. Mary honors. Mary focuses. Mary listens. And Mary commits everything she has to Jesus. And you are touched by her devotion. Almost before the smell has dissipated, you see someone else getting up, and you recognize Judas. And Judas is going around whispering to the other disciples. He's going up and talking to Simon. He goes up and he even talks to Jesus, and he's got a stern look on his face, and it's almost as if he's pointing his finger at Jesus, reprimanding him. You're able to hear a little bit about how the money could have been used for the poor. Later you will learn that Judas was a thief. Later you will learn that Judas was not concerned about the poor. He was just trying to cover for himself. Later you will learn that he had been a thief, and that Judas' concern was he was there to take. That he would cover his sins with a fake spirituality and concern for others. That his hypocrisy would dishonor both the master he claimed to follow and the people he claimed to have a concern for. As we look this morning at this group of people at the party, I want you to notice that they symbolize how people worship and how people serve in a church. Those who desire to worship and serve Jesus need to recognize that they need each other as they worship and as they serve. Did you get that message from the children's story this morning? Those who desire to worship and serve Jesus need each other as we worship and serve. Those who are Simons need to remember that Jesus is the focus of worship. Those who are Marys need to remember that service is also worship. Those who are Marthas need to remember that worship is also service. Praise is also service. Those who are Lazaruses need to remember that not everyone is an evangelist. Not everyone can tell the story. Not everyone has the same dramatic story to tell, yet everyone has a unique experience with Jesus that they can tell. That all of us have died and have been raised to a new life in Christ. We are all Lazaruses. The story ends, and we don't know. We know what happened to Judas in the end. We don't know what happened to Simon. What's interesting is what Jesus said to Mary in Luke's version at the end. He told her, "Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." While others were trying to rob her of her peace, Jesus reminded her of the peace he'd given. He does that for you and me, doesn't he? Would like to just end by challenging you to think about what kind of a worshiper and server you are. Are you like Judas, who comes to church? This is an awkward thing to say, but I think we need to think about it. Do you come to church to take, and never give in return? Are you like Judas, near Christ, but far from his heart? Are you at the dinner with a sour soul? Are you always criticizing the gifts of others, yet seldom, if ever, giving your own gifts? Are you benefiting from the church while never giving to it? Do others give sacrificially while you give miserly? Are you a Judas? Do you take, and never give? Or are you a Simon? Are you a Simon who's there to impress Jesus and others with what he has to offer? Are you a Martha who is there to serve in whatever capacity because you have sat at Jesus' feet and your service is for him? Are you a Mary who is so caught up in what Jesus has done for you that you have to do something in return out of love? Are you a Lazarus who simply can't help but tell others what Jesus has done for you? If you are a Simon, be humbled. God sees your self-righteousness. If you are Martha, be strengthened. God sees your service. If you are Mary, be encouraged. God receives your worship. If you are Lazarus, be strong. God honors your conviction. If you are Martha, be patient with the Marys and the Lazaruses. If you're Mary, be understanding of the Marthas and the Lazaruses. If you are Lazarus, be supportive of Mary and Martha and how they relate to Jesus. I would remind you that those who desire to worship and serve Jesus need each other. If we're going to do the work he's called us to do, if we're going to be the people he's called us to be. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this story that's so familiar. Yeah, it's easy to look at it and just think about what happened long ago. May we be challenged to serve you together so that together others might know you, whom to know is life eternal. In Jesus' name, amen.